on whom God has sent, that is in his spirit. Okay. Now, let's see what I want to do here. What we want to do, let's see, how are we doing on time? Oh, good, wonderful. Let's look at Habakkuk. We want to go to Habakkuk. Let's go to Habakkuk. This is taken from Habakkuk 2. Habakkuk 2. Taken from Habakkuk chapter 2. As it is written. Where is it written? Habakkuk 2. In quoting Habakkuk, Paul again shows that the righteousness by faith is not a new idea, that it has been the same all through history. We have noted many times that hidden in the Old Testament, I love this, is this these little golden nuggets all through the Old Testament. Now most people see the big rocks, just a big rock that you put around your neck and it burdens you, the law. That's what most people see, this big rock. They miss those beautiful little nuggets that are in the Bible. And Habakkuk has these beautiful nuggets in Habakkuk 2. One of the small books of the Old Testament, and yet hidden here is one of the most beautiful little nuggets, quoted three times in the New Testament. Three times, think about that. Out of all the books in the Old Testament, this one's quoted three times in the New Testament, presenting the Old, in the Old Testament and New Testament, God's two-part plan for the unbeliever and for the believer. Now, we're going to look at Habakkuk 2:4, but before we get there, what we want to do now is we want to understand what Habakkuk is saying when he says, "For the righteous shall live by faith." We want to understand in context what he's talking about. Why Paul quotes this. Look at Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk 1 verse 2. How long, O Lord, will I call for help? Now people, I don't know about your life, but when you hear yourself at night, how long is this going to go on, Father? You know you're right in the middle of the conflict. You're right in the middle of the warfare. Right where God wants you. How long is this going to go on? And thou wilt not hear. In other words, it seems like God is not hearing. I cry out to you. Violence. Yet thou dost not deliver. So how long is this going to go on? And then you look down at verse 3. Why? I love these two cries. How long and why? And what most Christians do when they say why, what have I done? Have I sinned? Have I failed? Did I do this? Is it because I got an abortion? Is it because I did this? Is it because I did that? Why is this going on, God? Why are you doing this? Why dost thou make me to see injury and iniquity? And cause me to look on wickedness. Yet destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists. Contention arises. Around me in the nation of Israel or in our own lives. Around me in my own nation, my own community, and my own life. Why? How long? These are two great cries. How long is this going to go on? Is this going to go on all my life? And why is this going on? Is this going to go on forever? What are you doing, God? These are the two great cries by Habakkuk to his Heavenly Father. Now, let's look at Habakkuk 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, where the Lord starts to answer him. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. Then the Lord answered. And boy, I love that phrase. Then the Lord answered. What wonderful grace. He doesn't have to. But he answers. He answered me and said, record the vision, inscribe it on tables, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal. It will not fail. It will come about. Though it tarries, takes its time. Wait for it. Wait for it. Strong word for faith is wait. Wait for it. For it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. Okay, let's just go back and see what he's saying now. And first of all, he said, it's going to come. You just wait. How long? That's not for you to know. Why? It's not for you to know. See, people, here's a sad truth. Sometimes God doesn't want our understanding. He just wants us to trust him. And that's tough for us being a Bible church. We study the Bible. I study the Bible every day. Why? I want to understand. There's that word. I want to understand. And what I've learned to understand is often he doesn't want our understanding. He wants us to trust him. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know how all the parts are being put together in your life, in the nation, how all this is leading to my plan for the rapture of the church, how all these pieces have to fit together. You just trust me. That's where the phrase walk by faith, the righteous live by faith. You just trust me. So I'm working things out here according to my plan. Okay, he says in this passage, in verse 4, behold, that's a Hebrew interjection, to jolt Habakkuk to one of two ways he can handle what's going on. Habakkuk can either run and depart, or Habakkuk can just walk by faith. Same thing with us people. Often we don't understand what God is doing in our life. Don't understand the divorce. I don't understand the cancer. I don't understand the financial collapse. I don't understand. Why is this going on? How long is this going to go on, God? That's why I said, when you hear yourself crying, why or how long? In the battle. You're right in the battle. And don't we want answers then? I sure do. What are you doing, God? This isn't the way I had it all worked out. I had it worked out where it'd really be great for you and be nice for me too. And it's not working out that way. Why? Did I mess up, God? Is it all my fault? Is it a burden I'm going to have to wear now? In shame and guilt? Is that what God wants us to do? No, people, that isn't what God wants you to do. And how long is this going to go on? Gee whiz, I'm already 45. Half my life's over. Over half's over, God. Come on, get with it. And it just goes on and on and on. And what is he doing? Okay, behold, concentrate. Then he says in verse 4, regarding the arrogant. This is a verb, and here is a good place to see the impact of the Hebrew, what we call the puel stem. Presents a state of existence and emphasizes the result or achievement of that perfected state. Okay, what have I just said? The process. Independence of God and in control. That's the arrogant. What is arrogance? Arrogance is I'm independent of God. What's the humble? The humble, I have to trust him. See, the humble, I have to trust him every moment of every day. The arrogant, I can handle this. I'm in control. So the arrogant is in control. Secondly, the result of such a state is of mind is arrogance. This is where you will end up as you try to live independent of God. From Cain on, I'm in control here. I'm going to make things happen my way. I don't like the way things are going, and I'm going to make the plan of God happen. Okay, God, here's my prayer request. You hang up the phone. You got 15 minutes to make it all work. If you don't do it in 15 minutes, I'm taking over. We live in this microwave sitcom type of life. Starts out good, have a problem, end the problem. And that's the way we think life ought to be. Life ought to be that easy and that quickly. It isn't going to work. So the arrogant is one who is